How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's time for your TNA Impact post show. It's November 21st, 2024. We're marching all the way to Turning Point, going to WrestleCade, going to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I'm not, but Fightful will be there. Sean Ross Sapp will be there. I believe Jeremy Lambert's going to be there. People will be on location for TNA Turning Point for WrestleCade, getting the interviews, doing the things. But for now, you get myself and Cresta Starr, who always joins me. Hi, Cresta. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. For those of you who cannot see, the No Shave November is still in full effect. Right now, I'm giving you Undertaker, Cresta Taker.
Crest Taker.
Crest Star Take Car. Crest Star Guitar. I forced that like a fart.
I think Cresta Taker or Crest Taker is probably the way we'll go.
We'll workshop it. You guys, drop a like, a comment in the chat. What it should be, Cresta Star X Undertaker. We'll workshop it.
Yeah, give us the names in the chat. And also, if you're watching after the fact, go ahead. Also, while you're here, leave a thumbs up on the video. And while you're at it, you can subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. And you can donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. We always appreciate that. Supports the team here, supports us. And of course, you can head over to humperchats.com. Cresta will tell you all about it.
You head on over to humperchats.com. You put your comment in the box that says comment, and we'll read it to you live on air. You have to put a dollar amount in, though, because if not, Humper Chats will come and bite your fingers. We get to keep a little bit more of the Humper Chat, and we're happy. Everyone's happy, and the keyboard doesn't bite you. Humperchats.com.
Bing.
The keyboard won't bite you. Disclaimer, the keyboard will not bite you. I made that up.
And of course, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. We got you ready for full gear. We got the scoops coming. MLW news. We got a new signee. Well, re-signee in this case. And a little more speedball Mike Bailey contract news. If you were looking to see him in the Continental Classic, I'm sorry. He might not be there. I'm sorry.
That would have banged.
I'm sorry. No, I'm done. I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about Impact for tonight. We're on our way to Turning Point. Turning Point is next Friday on the 29th. Thanksgiving weekend for those of y'all in the Americas. Cresta Starr, what do you think overall of the show?
This show to me was a standard show, but there was peaks and valleys. There's a few things, a lot of things that I liked, and one thing that surprised me a lot. But the things that I was just like, oh, I guess they got a pay-per-view coming up, so it's fine. So if I had to score it as an average score, I would give it a 3.5 out of 5 out of 10, right down the middle. What about you, Joel?
I think I would give it, I go right down the middle too. There was some stuff that really knocked it out of the park. There was some stuff that moved forward some stories, but overall, matches were matches. The main event was what it was. Again, you have the Hardys at home in North Carolina having a main event match in a 6-man tag. And other than that, it was and Ace Austin, of course. It's nice to see him and he's supporting, you know, for everyone supporting for Chris Bay, but it's nice to see Ace Austin still, you know, prevalent in the story, despite not having his tag partner available as of right now. And it's nice to see TNA continuing to rally around Chris Bay and put up all of the donation links and the available ways that you can support him. And that includes the GoFundMe that's listed on TNA's website. It's all over. They've got t-shirts. They've got auctions that are going on. So if you are in the position to support that way, you can go ahead and do that. Continue with TNA. And hopefully Chris Bay is getting a little bit closer to better day by day. So overall, show was fine. It opens up with the Knockouts World title match. So clearly that's a pretty hot start. It's an ODQ match. Masa Slamovich, she defends and retains against Alicia Edwards. And later on, as Jordan Grace would say, That's pretty much what I expected. But it was fine. The winner gets to face Jordan Turning Point anyway. The match, again, it was good. Masha hits the White Knight driver, gets the win. And really, the big news was Tasha Steelz attacks Masha Slamovich. Jordan Grace makes the save. And then later on backstage, they announced that it's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match at Turning Point for the Knockouts Championship, because Masha wants to put this rivalry to rest. And that's it. We'll talk about the match and, of course, our reaction to the 2 out of 3 falls match. What do you think about all this with Lish and Masha and then the 2 out of 3 falls announcement?
Low key, high key, this was one of the matches that surprised me. I'm so happy for Alicia Edwards. Can I say that? Like, I feel she's one of those wrestlers that get a lot of flack for her character, but I'm totally enthralled with it. Do you want to know? I was kind of upset that I didn't hear that all night tonight. I know it's annoying, but that's the point. This match to me was fine. It was better. It was exactly what it needed to be. I'm like that they gave it time and it wasn't a squish squash applesauce. Tasha Steelz coming out afterwards. I'm like, sure, I guess I get it. I don't know where this leads. Maybe Steelz versus Masha next. Not mad at that. Grace saying that went the way I expected. I was like, that's kind of mean, but okay. You know, I thought it. You could say
it. She said it last week too from the stage. She's like, I think I know how this is gonna end.
I can see what's happening here, like quite literally. So I'm not mad at it. 2 out of 3 falls. If this is Jordan's last match in TNA, I'm not mad at it. And what a way to go out. You don't have to stretch out a rubber match. This is how we're gonna do it, because it is gonna go to 3 falls, and this match is gonna be superb. Ha set, skirt steak, meat. Any other innuendo for meat slapping meat, this is what it's going to be, and I can't wait. Their match is always banging. I want them to fight forever. This should main event? Probably not, but hey, you know, girl can dream.
I think you've got a main event world title match instead. That, again, is going to turn a lot of heads and is going to surprise a lot of people. The Alicia comments. So, yes, everything you're saying is absolutely right. I don't think Lish gets the praise that she deserves, because she's not known as like super work rate, going to have a main event style match. But no, if you remember during Trinity's run, when she was Knockouts World Champion, she wasn't she was having really, really, really good matches. And then she got to the Lisha Edwards match and everyone was like, oh God, this is going to suck. And the reason it did not suck is because it became a bit of a plunder match and because they played to the strengths of Alicia Edwards. And that's what it is. She's not going to set the world on fire in the ring, but she is a very competent wrestler, a very good storyteller, and people really like her both in front and behind the scenes. So for her to go out there and have a match like this, it's a plunder match. It's fine. You know, they do the kendo stick stuff. They do the trash can setup, right? And that shit always hurts. And, you know, Masha gets to take a power bomb onto that thing. I'm sure that's not fun, but she does
it. That was gnarly. Oh, I was like, this is going to die. But then when Masha took it, I still threw up.
But that's also like Masha works like GCW and other, you know, more extreme promotions out there. So it wasn't a surprise. But again, the point is Alicia Edwards is like that glue. She really does keep the Knockouts division together in a way that people don't really expect her to keep it together. Because again, she's not the standout classical technical wrestler, but she's a really good storyteller.
Yeah.
And she's entertaining as hell. You mentioned, you know, do you want to know? It's so obnoxious, but it's in your head. And that's the thing. Like, I can sit here every single week and be like, oh my God, I can't listen to this. But I feel the same way about, you know, like you said, the Vicky Guerrero and even Mercedes Moné right now in AEW, when she comes out and says, you know, whatever city they're in, say hello to your CEO. I'm like, oh, she does it in such a way that's so grating. That's the way it's supposed to be.
And you miss it when it's not there. I think another good example of that would be Corey Graves. I hate to say it, but when Corey Graves is not there, I'm like, yo, who's on the mic right now? Who? Yo. I need someone to argue. You need that person, that Gorilla Monsoon, just to be like, yo, why are you disagreeing with me? You know I'm right. Like, stop it. You need people like that. And I think Alicia, this match definitely worked her took us off. So I'm giving you your flowers here. If you ever hear this, Alicia, you did that. You ate that.
Yeah. You give them a 6-minute, 7-minute opening contest like that. Listen, you know Masha's going to win, but she's going to make Alicia's going to make Masha look good in the process. And going back to what I said about Eddie Edwards, remember when he had the match at Turning Point last year against Will Ospreay in the UK? Everyone was like, oh, it's going to suck. And then it turned out to be one of the better matches. And it's not just because Will Ospreay is Will Ospreay, but it's also because, guess what? Edward Edwards knows how to work. he's another guy who's extremely underrated. He's never been the most charismatic performer, but he's always been very technical. So this is why it's very funny watching Alicia and Edwards be like just polar opposites of each other, not getting the right amount of praise they deserve, but still being able to bring it for the strengths they bring to the ring and out.
Like it or love it, they're going to make sure it gets over.
2 out of 3 falls match, a turning point for Masha and Jordan. You mentioned that you think that this could be Jordan Grace's last match. I don't know if that's the case. If I'm TNA, I'm still using her for the rest of the available time. I think that there's a tag match on the horizon between Masha and Jordan at Final Resolution, because that's one title that it's on the line this month. Next month, they can easily do a tag match with Lisha and Tasha Steelz against Jordan and Masha, and just let that blow off. People mentioning she's on the Genesis poster. That's the other part of it. I think that's the swan song for Jordan Grace. And then she does the live TNA Impact on the Thursday after Genesis. And that's like her goodbye. But for me, my money for Genesis is that she goes up against someone who's incoming or someone who needs a statement victory, and Jordan Grace loses on her way out and says goodbye.
Savannah Evans?
We talked about Savannah Evans. Could be Savannah Evans, could be Lei Ying Lee, could be someone coming in for the first time. People have mentioned Kylan King if she's ready to go. There are enough knockouts or potential knockouts that can come in and make a statement. It really depends on who they want to force up to the next round. Someone asking, do they kill Jordan Grace? No, they because she's going, allegedly, or because the expectation is that she's going to WWE and there is still a good relationship there. There's no reason to, because she could still go to TNA if they ever want to do an exchange with her. So it's not like they need to get rid of her in canon. They just need to say goodbye and be respectful. That's it. Even when Deonna left, they didn't really, offer. They just had Giselle Shaw turn on her after a tag match and then pile driver. That was it.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. And to be fair, I don't look at like spoilers. I like to be sports surprised. So the Genesis poster, I didn't even know that was out. So,
I mean, they announced the show at Bound for Glory. So it's been out there.
I don't watch wrestling.
There, but at the end of the day, Jordan Grace is still billed from Texas, still lives in Austin. The show Genesis is in Texas, so it makes sense for them to have her until that time. And again, the Royal Rumble is February 1st, regardless. It's the beginning of February. It's after Genesis. It's after the live Impact show. It would make sense for her to go say goodbye to TNA and then debut at the Rumble or re-debut at the Rumble. It's up to WWE at that point, if that's where she's going. But I'm looking forward to the 2 out of 3 falls match between Masha and Jordan. I don't expect a title change. If they do it just to go and have Masha win again at Genesis, that would feel weird to me.
Okay, that's fair.
I'd rather just, this is the end of the Jordan Grace
arc. Title run. Yeah,
we're just starting to like ramp her down. They get the tag match victory at Final Resolution, and then she loses to whoever Genesis on the way out and loses no luster on the way. That's how.
Yeah. And like you said, it gives someone up and coming or just coming in or whatever the rub. And exactly. That's a good rub to have.
Yeah. Because again, they did a good job with Masha. Hopefully they start really capitalizing on that, but we'll see where it lands. That's kind of what I'm thinking with Jordan Grace. Or it could be completely wrong. And you're right. And Turning Point is the end of the Jordan Grace experience in TNA.
Maybe she goes to Disney World. I don't know.
She spends enough time there. Rascals and Kushida versus the Hardys and Ace Austin is announced for Turning Point. They run a promo of the Rascals and Kushida talking about this whole setup. And Kushida's just awkwardly standing there while Trey and Wentz talk. I don't really have anything else to add. I just wanted to point out Kushida's just awkwardly. The only time he moves is when they mention that he's an IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion. By the way, his tag team title co-holder, Kevin Knight, he worked ROH tonight, so good stuff.
Period. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I just put that. I literally drew Kushida like, that's the question mark.
Yeah, it just kind of existed. Ash by Elegance defeats Jody Threat. Expected?
You're right, Joel. This tag match is coming up, and you're right, Joel.
Just announce it on the countdown and have the win. Let's just get there already.
I mean, this match was fine. I will say, in my opinion, because sometimes I feel like I'd be giving Ash by Elegance crap. She did pretty good this match. I'll give her flowers. But of course, the cheating, personal concierge. I'm sick of him. He's another one who's a really good valet manager. He's the worst, too. They didn't even finish Jody Threat's intro. He's like, all right, shut up. I'm like, hey, yo. He's too good.
Iceman's all right. No, he's actually really good at this. They do a spot where Jody's shoulder goes into the ring post, and it sounded so gnarly. I loved it. And then during the cheating spots, you've got this commentary. I see you, Ray Walton Hannifin. They say, if you can get away with it, that's fine. And then it's been proven everywhere else. Why not here? And I'm like, I know exactly what you're doing, and I love what you're doing here.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Also, I had to put over the fact that the concierge said, this town is a dump, and you've never done anything great. Bro, I've heard a lot of cheap heat lines, but this was dirty. That was awful. I live, but that was awful. I'm calling the police post-haste.
Prove me wrong, Fayetteville. Prove me wrong. Heather tries to distract. Iceman stops Jody Threat from hitting a superplex. Danny Luna knocks out Heather, and then Ash gets the rarefied rare. Oh God. And gets the win.
That's Yeah. They're going to change titles and men don't like it.
Sorry. One day I'll stop booking the Knockouts tag division, but today is not that day. Mike Santana comes out to cut a promo. This was good stuff. You know, he comes out, talks about being fueled by the people who told him he couldn't accomplish anything, promised his daughter he would win the TNA world title. Now he's promising the fans he's going to win the world title. Out comes Frankie Kazarian with his Call Your Shot gauntlet trophy. He says, I'm the king of TNA, and I want to sit on the throne as the champion. And so Santana, you know, he's like, I'm out here to put Nick Nemeth on notice, but instead I'll beat your ass, Kazarian. And so they make a match for Turning Point, much to Kazarian's chagrin. He wanted his night off, but he's not going to get it. All this to bleed into Kazarian versus Rhino. Really, all you need to know is that Rhino goes for the gore. Kazarian rolls up Rhino with his foot on the rope, gets the win. Listen, Rhino looks good for an older dude doing this 25 years later. Good for him. And then Rhino gets the gore on Kazarian after he celebrates.
Kazarian's healing it up. And at first I was like, yo, whose uncle is this? And now I'm like, yo, Kazarian, get out of here, bro. Like, and so from a fan standpoint, I'm very sports entertained. I wish I wasn't. Because you know exactly what you're doing. And it's fantastic. When he said, I requested that night off months ago, I'm like, yo, you're clowning, bro. Like, you're so unserious. You were unserious when you had the scarf on the trophy, and you're unserious with that line. You were unserious when you rolled up Rhino with your feet on the ropes, and you were unserious when you got back in the ring after you won to get gored after the match. Frankie Kazarian is on a heel run of his life. I love it. I live. This is so good. Mike Santana is going to beat this man up, and Frankie Kazarian is going to deserve it. And Frankie's just like, I didn't lose. Fake news, I didn't lose.
It's good stuff.
it's so good. I live for a good obnoxious heel, especially a delusional one. And you can't tell the king of TNA anything. Like, if he told me to shut up, I'd be inclined to be quiet.
I've been waiting for Santana versus Kazarian. I'm glad they're going to do it. Again, Santana's poised to win that title as early as Genesis. And then Moose is going to cash an option C and we'll all be sad. But at least Santana will have won and held the title for at least, you know, a few minutes.
If Moose, and I felt this way watching the Josh Alexander get cashed in on by Moose, but if Moose cashes in on Mike Santana, I think Mike Santana might actually assault that man. I think there's going to be, you're going to have to do a monster's ball, a cage on a cage, on a pole on a cage match, because Mike Santana is going to strangle that man. That would be sports entertainment right there. Oh, that'd be good. Joel, I think you cooking, Joel.
That's what you want. That's the story. Again, I mentioned this when Moose and Santana had their last match at Bound for Glory. It was so good. And I'm like, we ain't done here. Like, we need more to this. And it looks like we might get there. By the way, shout out to Kylie Ray. She was added to the WWE ID program tonight at Freelance Wrestling. Nice. Yeah, she was identified at Freelance Wrestling. Love that for her. She was on WWE Main Event not too long ago, so it's good to see her get that opportunity. Love it.
Heck yeah.
All right. We talked about that. Oh, by the way, shout out to referee Daniel Spencer, who sucks again, gets distracted, and Kazarian hits another low blow on Rhino.
Leave Daniel Spencer home. Just Never. For Daniel Spencer.
Never. When he stops getting distracted by shiny things like scarves, I will respect the rule of the referee in that match.
To be fair, it's TNA. That's why I answer when it gets real wacky. It's TNA. It's expected.
That didn't happen. All right, let's get into this. This was a fantastic video. Go out of your way to watch it. It's up for free on their socials everywhere. It's the Steve Macklin video. So like I mentioned in the crossover, some of you haven't heard that yet. I was told by quite a few people at TNA that this was worth watching and it was something to keep your eye out for. I'm glad that I did. And I'm glad that I got to really watch it and not just take notes through it. It's powerful stuff, and it sounds like it's not the lone video that they did. Macklin is sitting at the bar, and bartender sees his service tag, see that he served USMC, and she asks, "When did you leave?" And he says, "I never left." And then afterwards, Macklin leaves. Eric Young comes in, sits at the bar for a drink. So I guess it's either later that night or maybe the next day. I guess it's later that night when you get to the end of the video and you figure it all out. Anyway, Macklin goes back to his motel room. He's sitting alone. He's having flashbacks about his time in the army and all that stuff. He's looking at old photos. Later on, he can't sleep. Then he goes into a dream. He's sitting across from a suited Eric Young. And basically, the avatar of Eric Young is Macklin's like internal conscious. That's really what you need to know. Excuse me, I had to cough. Eric Young's asking all the questions and asking what Macklin lost. He says, "I lost time." They talk about torture being time, and time is all we have, and then what trust is. Macklin is reminded, Eric Young reminds Macklin of somebody in the dream, but Macklin can't trust him. It's like a whole, again, you have to go off and watch this video, and then eventually Macklin wakes up from this dream that he's having, and there's a knock at the door. He opens it up, and it's Eric Young. This was very well shot, very well told, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
So I always like to look at wrestling from a ha-ha, jokey joke because it's entertainment standpoint. This resonated crazy with me. My father was also in the army, used to suffer from whatever Macklin is going through, the character, let me be clear here, the character. And that it touched my little jabroni heart, bro. Like, at first I was like, violent by design. because it was given like, I'm about to kidnap you and do it. But as it went on, I was like, oh shit, he really going through something. I like the story that they're telling here. And I will give TNA credit. This is like, I want to say the fourth story that I've seen. Mickie James going home, Eric Young coming back. This one now with Macklin and Mike Santana's video package story, all well shot. The way it's shot, I guess the cinematography it's called of it, fantastic. The storytelling, fantastic. And there are very high bars in wrestling when it comes to, I feel like, psychological things. I feel like Bray Wyatt being at the top. But this, to me, is a very close second. I was sports confused in the best way. Like, what the is going on here? As it went on, I was like, oh, what the is going on here? I'm very interested, very sports invested. Also, is Eric Young like the shaman of TNA? Because this is like the third time he's come in a dream and trying to help people get it right. And the last time he went Omni-Man, he was Violent by Design. So am I missing something here?
No, Eric Young is just omnipotent. That's all.
Okay, that's fair.
He lives in the TNA universe like forever and ever. They've killed him once. So now he just lives in everyone's mind. But of course, the fans can see him when he wrestles matches. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to what this all comes together to be. Someone in the chat saying, like, I'm guessing a lot of people in the military can relate to this. So Macklin had retweeted the video and said, putting this together was a dream come true to realistically show the mental state of millions of combat veterans and the struggles we face on a daily basis is, and always has been, a very important piece of my work as a professional wrestler. I hope you enjoy a look into my mind. And then Deonna Purrazzo, who is Macklin's wife, had retweeted it and quote tweeted it and said, I cannot articulate how accurate this is of your life. The nights you've woken up drenched in sweat only to tell me about dreams just like this. I know this wasn't an easy project to dive into, but Proud doesn't begin to describe how I felt watching this for the first time. Thank you for being vulnerable and showing this side of you. Thank you for being you. This was really, really well done. I cannot put it over enough, and I really hope that people go out of their way to watch it, because this was not only, like you said, the cinematography was very good, the story of it is good, because there's passion and there's just like there's a sliver of reality in it. And it's still pro wrestling, so it's still a little wonky. So it's still pro wrestling, but it's not bad. It's not hokey. There's a level of passion and commitment to this story that might actually make it even better, because that's what you need in pro wrestling. Someone who is committed to whatever this story is supposed to be. So I really do want to put it over. I can't tell you enough how many times you should see it.
I do want to say too that there's just a right amount of level of what the fuck is this to bring you back from, oh my God. Like I said, like I say it warmed the cockles of my little jabroni heart, but I like legit almost cried, bro, because like I resonate with my dad. My dad used to deal with that stuff, just be wild, out of whack for no reason. He'd be like, nah, I'm cool. I'm like, you're not. It's all good. I can hug you, bro. Like, that's real. That is so real. And I feel like it's stuff like that where you can look at a wrestler and be like, damn, dog, I'm a fan now. Like, I'm a hardcore fan. I'm like, I'm an apologist. I'm a Macklin apologist. You know what I mean? This was, I want to put it over to, like, this is fantastic. Please go and watch it. And I feel like, if you want to put a human face to a wrestler, sometimes you just got to be a little bit vulnerable. And Macklin aced the assignment, 10 out of 10, no notes. Eric Young, honestly, being the TNA shaman, no notes. I kind of live.
You know what? I'm going to do it here. I'm going to say it now. I am taking full responsibility for the turnaround of Macklin as a character and professional. I'm just kidding. Get to it.
You gonna get jumped.
Get my ass kicked.
You gonna get jumped by Macklin, the shaman, Eric Young, and Deonna. But listen, I'm gonna take a picture and run.
No, I am glad, because there was a time when you and I sat on the post shows and we weren't really sure with Macklin, and we weren't getting it with him.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see that process and that feeling change the more we've seen him, you know, interact, and not even interact, but just like mesh into the TNA system and the TNA lore and just the storytelling that's available through it. It's really cool to see. So again, I'm looking forward to seeing what this particular story brings.
You know, and when I see Macklin in this iteration, and just to see him grow in TNA, it kind of makes me look at WWE like, y'all had this in the bag, and this is what y'all did. Okay, sirs. This, because this is really compelling. This is fantastic stuff, you know?
Sorry, I'm currently giving RJ City shit for something.
I mean, honestly, as you should.
For those who don't know, I host a morning show here on Fightful. It's called In the Weeds. It's over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. We have guests, Busted Open, who are very notably our enemies. Our competition. I'm just kidding. We love them. They just said you'll have to come on tomorrow to elaborate, said RJ City. Or sorry, said the Busted Open crew. They said you have to come on tomorrow to the show and elaborate. And RJ City just quote tweeted it and said, I'm gonna go on Busted Open tomorrow and relentlessly mock whoever the hosts are this week. And I'm just sitting to myself like, it's that easy to book you? I could have done this months ago. Ruined my life, RJ City.
I forgot I was muted. I was like saying, mock me, please.
See what he says. Y'all can come on this journey. Leon Slater and Laredo Kid defeat JDC and Moose. Leon Slater and Moose, they were hype. And they delivered. And I want to see more of that. And I think we will. It's not going to be immediately. While Slater does get the pin on JDC, it's going to be Moose versus Laredo Kid, because post-match, while everyone's beating down, while the heels are beating down the babyfaces, while the heels are beating down Leon Slater, Laredo Kid gets a chair and takes out Moose and JDC. So that's why that's happening. Moose basically said, that'll be it. I'm going to beat up another luchador on a pay-per-view and win the match.
I got to tell you, I did a whole diatribe in my house. Like, where's Laredo Kid from? Is he a luchador? They're about to take the pin. My little brother hit me with the, I don't know. JDC is in this match. Leon Slater might pin somebody. And what happened? I felt like a fool. Joe, I thought this plan was foolproof. The luchador didn't lose. In fact, he was rewarded. In TNA, he was rewarded with an ass beating from Moose.
But he won. I mean, he was on the winning team.
I hope they do more with Leon Slater. He is so good, so talented. I think it's like my second or third time seeing him wrestle. And every time he delivered, because when he got that hot tag, Moose, as explosive and as tall as he is, no way, dogs. Like, Leon Slater was right up on him. I'm happy Laredo Kid is getting the X Division Championship versus Moose. But I feel like at some point it should have been Leon Slater since he got the pin, but I digress.
After the Speedball Leon Slater match, I said on the show, it looks like Leon Slater is definitely next. He is the guy who, when Speedball leaves, is going to be the next like Speedball presentation, getting the hype, getting the style and all that stuff. I think they're going to slow boat him a little bit, which is fine by me. Give him a bunch of big wins on the way up to facing and winning the X Division Championship. If they don't do an option C gimmick for Moose, then I can see Moose and Slater having a banger and Moose putting over Leon Slater, because there might be something there. Moose is not against putting people over. Never heard that he doesn't want someone to win and that he should be champion forever and ever. Amen. But it wouldn't shock me if Leon Slater is one of the guys that he decides should be the guy.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's a little bit too early for Moose to lose it. He just got it. And the system, even though he's the only one with gold still, they're still being a bunch of terrors.
Yeah, they really are. They suck.
I mean, that's... Do you want to...
Joe Hendry comes out. Speaking of memes, Joe Hendry comes out. And he says he's thankful for the year he had. And then he's upset about being in the Turkey Bowl at Turning Point. But he's going to climb up the ranks and win the TNA title. And he just wants to win again. So I don't know, man. Joe Hendry is just on he's on his redemption arc, but this is like redemption arc number 3. And I'm not there yet. We're at the bottom. He's trying to climb up. Don't know if I feel like he should have had a promo in front of the crowd, but the crowd still loves Joe Hendry. So who am I, right? What do you think of this whole thing?
I agree with almost like 80% of what you said. My problem is, what are we doing with Joe Hendry? Clearly the people love him. I understand you got to build him back up, but I felt like this was go out there and make the crowd happy. This was a nothing sandwich. And I'm a Joe Hendry apologist, But that's what I felt like. I felt like this could have been an email. You know, like, this could have been something else. You could have put something narrow. I get it. But I want Joe Hendry to be TNA World Champion as much as everyone else does. The top of the card is very stacked right now. So I'm really concerned, like, what are we doing with Joe Hendry? Because I would hate for him to be cooled all the way off to where no one cares. Because I feel like that's a waste. That's such a waste.
Do we believe in giving Joe Hendry a humiliation arc that he loses the turkey bowl and has to wear the stupid turkey costume?
My answer to that would be a question as, what purpose does that serve? The fans are already behind him. He doesn't need a redemption arc. If anything, I think he needs a win. If it's not the digital media, which he already had, the X division, something, the tags, something. Like, I think Joe Hendry needs a win because the crowd is so over for him. Him losing, wearing the turkey suit, I think would be funny, but him continuously losing, me as a fan, I'd be like, all right, so what are we doing here? What are we doing here? You know what I mean? It'd be very TNA, but I'd be upset.
And that's the thing. It's like, you could give somebody the moment and they'd take that moment and run with it. And if that's the test, that's what you do with Joe Hendry in a turkey suit. I personally don't think that that's where they're going for, or that's where they're going with it. I also don't necessarily think that John Skyler is going to be the one wearing that stupid turkey suit.
I think it's JDC. I hate to say it.
You think it's JDC?
I think it's JDC. They're going to get a turkey suit that's too small because he's like 9'9" and he can't teach that.
I think it's Brian Myers. I think Myers is just okay with doing it, and they're just going to have Brian Myers do it.
That'd be fantastic, too. I think JDC or Brian Myers would be top-tier entertainment. Joe Hendry could play a guitar in a turkey suit, and I would laugh.
Joe Hendry playing guitar in a turkey suit. Telling you, it's there. He can make the most of it. That's the other thing. Skyler just will look like an idiot. But like, and like Myers coming out with the system and he's wearing the stupid turkey suit.
Oh my God.
That's the thing. And like, I'm not going to spoil the match for Final Resolution. That's, you know, they did it. The tapings cover all the way to Final Resolution, FYI. Regardless, that I'm not going to spoil that, but like Myers being in the turkey suit, at least for one show, would be hilarious.
That's how I feel about JDC. Because, like, yeah, Myers is tall, but JDC is mad tall. They're not going to find a turkey suit that fits him. He's just going to be miserable the whole time standing next to Moose. I would laugh out loud.
See? And the other thing is, they don't have any recorded... Sorry, they're not doing any live content until Final Resolution. So they're doing Turning Point Live, and then the next, like, Impact after that... Sorry, let me try this again. Turning Point is live, and then they've already taped the 2 weeks worth of shows that air between Final Resolution and from Turning Point. Mm-hmm. So whatever happened, they didn't show who's in the turkey suit in those tapings. So we don't know who it is, but whoever it is would obviously have already done some sort of promos, you know, backstage at the tapings.
I'll be real with you. I don't think it'll be Joe Hendry just because, like... That's a corny joke. Never mind. I'm going to shut up. Continue.
I don't think it's Hendry. Myers is where I'm kind of going with it, just because it would be fine. You can give Joe Hendry the elimination kink, humiliation kink, and see how he does with it, because he's at the bottom of the barrel right now. Let him be more humiliated, and then he has to win his way back up. He had to face Ryan Nemeth, for Christ's sake.
Singing in a turkey suit, that's gimmick infringement, brother. Where's Adam Sandler?
Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah.
He did a turkey one too.
Yes, he did. Turkey lurky and turkey lurky little. Turkey only cost a nickel. Yeah, I wasn't that shit.
Because I'm not an Adam Sandler fan, but I know that. That's funny.
I love turkey on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Anyway, Nick Nemeth.
We're going to get a cease and desist.
It's like, how did he know how to sing like me? Like, buddy, I'm a Jew. I get it. Nick Nemeth half-assedly still believes in Joe Hendry. He's going after the entire system, even though Edward Edwards is going to be the opponent. At Turning Point, calls it an honor to be a TNA champion, and Edwards won't take the power away from Nick Nemeth. Nick Nemeth is a power whore.
Power bottom, some would say. The power top. He's a champion. I'm sorry. He's the power top.
JBL will be at the show, so clearly we know what'll happen there.
My two cents again, like the Joe Hendry. I guess, sure, you did it.
Savannah Evans defeats Brittany Jade in a squash match. Full Nelson Slam gets the win. Anything to add on that one? Because it's a match that happened.
I just wrote Rip Brittany.
She's pretty good, though.
I mean, Savannah Evans like she was going to eat her at one point, and I believed it.
That's fair. In our main event, Hammerstone, Jake Something, and Trent Seven defeat Ace Austin and the Hardys. Ace Austin comes out with the Jeff Hardy face paint. They're all painted face. It's kind of nice. Jeff Hardy has the full face paint. Ace Austin has the bottom half. Matt Hardy has the top half of the face paint. It's really cool. Ace Austin basically gets the shit beat out of him for most of the match till the Hardys tag in. Triple Twist of Fate was neat. Hammerstone and Something break up a potential Hardys win. They beat them up. Trent Seven low blows Ace Austin, hits the Birminghammer, gets the win. Hardys and Austin get attacked by Hammerstone, Something, and Seven, and then Rascals and Kushida make the save, because that is something that will be happening at the Turning Point show. It's going to be Rascals and Kushida against the Hardys and Ace Austin. This was a TV main event. Nothing special, nothing out of the ordinary. It was fine. Your thoughts?
The best part of this match was saying the enemy team's name is Hammer Something Seven. And that's what I got. The triple twist of fate was cute, but this was a standard match. Also, Trent Seven, this man isn't doing the yam bag shuffle. He's trying to make sweet potato pie. The way he gets up in there and grinds the yams, like, bro, like, and what ref was this? Because he was the same thing he did with Speedball, where he was there for a minute. It's like, yeah, oh, I feel like, yo, where's the ref? Like, you're not even trying to be sneaky. You're making mashed potatoes over here. Like, who's mad? His match was fine. Ace Austin really did get beat up for most of this match, respectfully.
I'm pretty sure it was Frank Gastineau. Who's there? Who's in the ring? Let me see. Yeah, that's Frank. Senior referee, Frank Gastineau.
I mean, it is what it is. It's TNA. And to that extent, I always expect good wrestling, which I always get. And I expect a couple of chuckles. And this got a couple of chuckles out of me, because Trent Seven also, like Kazarian, is an unserious wrestler. At some point, you can't make mashed potatoes. It's a yam bag shuffle, not a yam bag squash.
Well, you know, with the Thanksgiving's coming up, so he's just getting ready for bringing his dish out.
Tenderizing the meat.
Even though the meat is actually potatoes.
Meat and potatoes, what a classic.
He's got meat and potatoes. He has a former tag team partner who did Bop and Bang. So, like, what are we doing here?
We're hammering Something Seven. That's what we're doing here.
Hammer Something Seven.
I see Jake Hammer Seven, and that's good too, but I like Hammer Something Seven.
The Brits do anything as long as they're stateside. Let's just put it like that. Anyway, that's TNA for November 21st. Hey, we did it. It's 11 p.m. Eastern. I told you we'd do it.
On the dot.
I'm a professional, if nothing else. Crest of Star, what you got going on? Oh, you got to do the coughing too. I had that. Something's in my throat. I had like a potato wedge that just suddenly got stuck. It's been bothering me all night.
Literally, when you asked, I felt a tickle in my throat. Said, "You're not going to do it." My throat said, "Gotcha, right now, Undertaker, right?" I gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Crescent Star. I'm here every Thursday with the beautiful, handsome Joel Pearl, my favorite co-host of all the land. We're here on Fightful. We talk about TNA every Saturday. I'm doing the Collision Post Show with Rick and Iridian. Except for this Saturday, because I think it's Full Gear. I don't know if we're going to be on their post show. I haven't been notified, but listen, I'm open to work. Like they say on LinkedIn, I'm ready to work, baby. Every Wednesday, you can catch me over on TikTok and Twitch. Crest of Star, where you can type that. I'm live. We go over AEW. We watch it together. It's tons of fun. Besides that, anywhere you can type Crest of Star on the internet, you can find me, even on Blue Sky. I'm not promoting my Twitter anymore. It's Crest of the Star, but screw them. Joel, where can they find you?
Trying to find out what you're doing this weekend. The Collision Crew and Phil Lindsay will be hosting the Survivor Series post show.
That's next week, no?
That's next week. It's not this week. I don't know. I'm guessing Sean's going solo for the AEW Full Gear post show.
I'm going to slide into Sean's DMs. What you doing, Sean?
You don't have to really slide in. Anyway, whatever. Point is, I am Matt Joel Pearl. I don't use the other one. I use the Blue Sky, so it's still Jewel Pearl there. I host In the Weeds with Jeremy Lambert every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Monday, well, tomorrow we have a show, and then Monday we have a guest. So tune in tomorrow to find out who the guest is on Monday. How about that? Eh? Let's do that. We'll talk about Full Gear and everything else coming up. And Thursdays, here we are. We're back every Thursday talking about TNA wrestling. Don't know if we're going to do a Turning Point post show, because at this point, I think the only turning point is going to be the tag titles changing hands for the ladies, and that's about it. So we might just take Friday off. It's a Friday night, but also the show starts at 7 p.m. So, like, might be able to get it in there if it's a show that ends at a reasonable hour. We'll talk about it. How about that? Leave a comment about whether or not you want a Turning Point post show and if you'll be turning in to tune in to Turning Point. Okay? All right. For Crescent Star, I am Metro Pearl. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.